Think you missed some Carmen and Yurko? You don't have to miss anything. Podcasts are ready on the ESPN Chicago app.
Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports.
Thanks to our producers today, Randy Merkin, Chris Black. Job well done as always. Thanks for listening and calling in and tweeting and having fun. Yurko's multitasking right now on the phone and reading the great sponsor.
Crosstalk is brought to you by Alpamonte Buick GMC. Shop online at apbuickgmc.com or come visit in person at 364 West Grand Avenue in Elmhurst.
Who are you talking to?
Jakey.
Your son? Yeah. What's going on?
The Real Madrid game.
He's telling him to record the Real Madrid game.
TNT, all right? We're happy.
Don't Yurko, all you need to
you
do is...
You can't bet on it after it's been played.
Get the Xfinity app, Yurk, and you can just set your DVR.
You can do it on your phone.
You do it right on your phone.
Look, I
can,
told you I was cutting the cords, kid.
But you haven't cut the cord.
Hulu!
Yeah, but you haven't.
So me just, gonna have Hulu!
Why don't you just download the app?
You have to be a Hawaiian to order Hulu.
I'm not sure that's
any part of it, to be honest with you.
I heard you guys have some shekels on this one, huh?
Yes, you were
They're
making
going
fun
against
of me when I said I had a big bet.
Fun, but I mean, you came in like, oh, we got a lot on this one. I said, oh, you got five dimes?
Did no.
You, the two dimes?
Who do you know puts five dimes
Did the Barcelona
tie? Do you know anyone that puts five dimes?
I know some.
Do you put five dimes on anything?
I have in the past.
Yeah.
Have you really?
Yeah.
You've bet $5,000 on a game.
Oh, yeah.
Did the Barcelona tie kill you yesterday? 1-1 against Napoli.
Yeah. Yeah,
that hurt you yesterday.
Yeah, it did.
That's never fun.
What did you bet $5,000 on?
I know guys that have.
Well, no, did you?
You just said you did.
Listen, we don't have to disclose.
Did you win or lose?
Maybe I've won some and lost some. Maybe a little bit of both.
Did you have the Indians in Game 7? Is that how you had $5,000?
I did not. I would have been. Are you kidding? I would have been.
On the Cubs?
Beside myself.
Already, you probably already
I did. Bet, I don't think I bet any of those World Series games, to be honest.
Well, I know I
remember.
Did.
I don't think I did.
I didn't have gambling in my life as much as I do now when the. With the soccer going on.
You had a prop bet on it, though.
I did.
And this, which game is
did
this
I?
That you guys
This is Real Madrid Manchester City Champions League.
Okay, yeah. Well, the greatest prop bet that was good, that Waddle
first
almost
home
hit
run.
Was the Schwarber home run.
Right. What did I mean, bet?
You bet
$100
like 40-1.
It was 40-1.
First hit a home run, right?
And it hit the wall.
Yeah.
I mean, it was off the wall. It was the famous, and Meller got the whole thing on video. It's like one of the great tweets that you can go back and watch the video.
Oh,
We're sitting right next to Waddle as he's watching Schwarber's first swing.
And we thought it was out.
We all thought it was out.
Celebrations going on.
I wanted to take that ball to Cooperstown because I thought that's where he was going.
Yeah. But
After that World Series?
Remember, he was Babe Schwarber back then.
After that, 4-12 in the World Series.
I still remember, where were we
surgery?
At? We were at a barbecue spot doing a game when he was back here testing his knee out before they traveled to Cleveland.
They were in L.A.
Yeah, that's right.
The Cubs were in L.A., and I think he was in Arizona or something like that.
Right.
Forget, or maybe they were here.
He came back. I think he was here, wasn't he?
Well, I thought he was in, I'm with Sylvia. I thought he was at the facility in Arizona,
maybe
and
that's
where he was getting ready. And remember when the whisper started, it seemed crazy. Like,
did he take some outfielding? They tested him.
You know what? When we may have had him on from the barbecue restaurant is when they came back from Cleveland, and he was... did we ever get him on when we were wondering if he would
play
in the
field. Yeah.
Remember that Jesse was doing play-by-play, saying, oh, he's picking up a glove right now, and he's going to shag some balls and left.
Right. I think you're right about
that. But there were a couple things. Yeah, he did hide something from us when they were playing the Dodgers, though.
He's a guy, though, honestly, would not shock me if he had a whiz-bang of a year this year.
He had a hell of a second half. I mean, can he do that for a whole season?
That's what I mean.
He was tremendous last year.
If he had 40 home runs this year, it wouldn't shock
wouldn't
me.
Shocked
Give me 340 on base.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
40 home runs.
Slug 850 and 40. You know what I mean?
OPS 850.
850, I meant. OPS 850.
You'll take it, right?
Yeah. That's all. You know, he'll hit 250. Maybe at best, but I'm looking at the other numbers.
Then he'd look more like Adam Dunn, and you take that. We always said you'd take that
of course.
If he produced like Adam Dunn produced in his prime. Sure,
you'd have 40 home runs and 395 on
base. And like Sylvie said, an 850 or a 900 OPS. You know, I mean, he seems capable of that. Absolutely. All right. So Bulls and
Hawks. Before we get started, let's pick a winner.
Let's pick a winner. One name. You got all the names?
I just go pick 1 through 7 to give me a number.
I'm going to give you a number. I'll give you lucky number 7.
Okay. Jose is our winner.
Oh, he's the last guy to qualify, too. Jose is our winner.
What are we playing for?
for a $50 gift card to Bub City. Nice. Enjoy, Jose.
Can I bring up a money story that was told to us in the pre-show fist fight?
Sure, love to hear this money story. Is it okay to say?
Yeah, well, I mean, Merck may take some offense here. I don't know. Zetterman told us about, he wanted to know, I thought it's okay. You guys tell me what you think.
All right. Go ahead.
So Brett and Dana, they're having the B'nai Mitzvah this weekend.
They're Merkin's kids.
That's right. Right.
Big party Saturday.
Right.
Yeah.
13 years old.
We're all going.
And Cap is not going to be there because he's out of town on vacation.
Right. He's someplace in the islands.
So Cap gave two envelopes to Merck for Brett and Dana.
One for each.
Right. One for each.
One for each. And Merck opened them in his office.
Oh, boy.
Went right to Walmart for candy.
And Dana people?
First of all, you shouldn't do that. Those are for your
children. And Danny's criticizing him that he never gave it to the kids to open.
I'm kind of with him.
I am.
Just put him in a different envelope and give it to him.
I think this is wasted effort, to be honest with you. My kids didn't care.
This is intact.
Are you keeping the money or is the kids going to?
No, we started bank accounts for them.
I don't know. So that's their next.
I thought it was fine because they're going to get that for college money. Yeah. Whatever.
You skimming off the top a little bit?
I'm not skimming off the top.
Parties are expensive.
Are you sure, Mark?
Yeah,
off the top a little bit.
You know, the kids
you
need
to keep
back
whatever we got to what's left
that's
over after we play after we pay for the venue.
That's right.
Merck, you betting a few golfers this weekend? You take some of that money.
Betting Champions Tour this weekend.
Betting Champions Tour this weekend. I wonder.
Boy, I tell you what, boy, that's. You know, you learn quick now, whether your parents are shady or not as children.
We have to give in denominations of 18. Do I have the number right? That's the lucky number. Is that right,
you, technically, you don't have to.
But you should, right?
You should, but 18's lucky.
That question's kind of for Sylvie, but he's over here smirking
he's
on the
going,
phone.
No, you could. I mean, like,
you're not going to give in a denomination
of 18? What are the denominations then all the way up? You're the math guy.
180 is 10.
Yurko's giving $36
right, 162.
So I'd rather get $200 than 180.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah, I do know what you're saying.
Yeah, I'd rather
give
200 than 180.
I'd rather give 108 than 180.
So what? Me too.
So never get.
So then what's the next one? 198?
Yeah.
Is that what we're talking about?
That'd be 198.
Yeah, give me 225 instead, you know?
All right.
You know,
I can just imagine you getting your cards, yelling at your mom about not getting enough money.
Oh, we!
Wow, what kind of cheapskate Rollins do we have?
Allie and I did the game show.
Who wants a gift? Will you tell your people I want cash?
When we opened up our wedding gifts, the cards, we would guess when we knew it was how much would be in the card. Yeah.
For the wedding.
Well, we'd see who the card was from.
That's a fun game.
Yes, it is.
I put $6.27 in.
I'm thinking about giving
the kid does not disappoint.
No, I'm a good gift giver. Man.
I'm thinking about giving the kids Boggle for their bar mitzvah.
Well, you know,
are you going to share it? Do they each get their own?
Try Otrio. That's a new one, kid.
If we were playing Yurko's game idea about the movies, that'd be a TV reference. Now you guys have to guess the TV show. Show is that from?
Boggle?
Somebody gave me Boggle. Yes. Which TV show did someone for a bar mitzvah? Boggle.
This is easy. We've got to go over to Seinfeld.
It is Seinfeld.
Yeah. That's what I was thinking. But
good. Yeah. I will not be doing that for the twins this weekend. So
by twins, you mean Brett and Dana.
Yeah, for Brett and Dana,
Yeah, we don't mean Arnold Schwarzenegger and the little fat guy.
I just don't know. Every time
Danny
I look
DeVito
at Carm, I think that there's something else going on in there.
No, there's not. There was talk
five
about
dimes. I mean, you're talking about five dimes.
How about
bets?
The Barbie twins?
There was talk about a twins two. Did you know that? I think Arnold recently revealed
that. I love those
girls. For a little while, they were going to do a twins two with Eddie Murphy.
Pass on
how funny would that have been, though? Come on. The premise is kind of funny already. Admit it. It's a little funny. You know it is.
With Arnold Schwarzenegger and Eddie Murphy?
It's a little funny. Come on. I think that's what Arnold said. Maybe last
it could be anybody, then, if you're going to do it that way. It would be Betty White and, you know, I don't know, somebody.
So last night, both games were exciting, and then they both.
I thought you had the text of the evening, Carmen.
Yeah,
it was very simple.
For two non-playoff teams, I couldn't believe how much fun I was watching, how much fun I was having watching them.
Yeah.
They both lost,
I can put aside my grievances with, you know, the Bulls front office for one night to watch what they were doing.
It's still frustrating, though. Boylan's comments pregame, you know, like a big 180 from where they were at the start of the year, guys, when they said, hey, we want to be a playoff team.
Right. To now, I'm not worried about winning.
I'm not worried. You know, we got to build a culture. We got to build culture, and I got to, you know, make sure they
work
hard.
That's a crappy culture where your team looks like they don't listen to you.
Yeah, Zach LaVine, and I know yesterday when he was saying, I've got 40 blanking points, someone pointed out that was to the official and not to Boylan.
Right.
But we've seen enough where there's a lack of respect there. That your best player that probably doesn't respect the coach. Isn't that all we need to say?
Yeah.
How's that for culture?
I mean, I don't know what they have.
All I know is for one night, I was a little gassed up to see Zach LaVine making shots that usually are reserved for difference makers. And Kobe White, for the third consecutive time coming off the bench, scoring 30 points was...
Is this real? And now he's not going to shoot 55% from, you know, whatever it is. It's obscene
these
last couple of games.
But it's encouraging and reassuring that it's in there.
Yeah, that there's that ability to score is in there.
Right.
You know, that's... you do it once and you just maybe chalk it up to, okay, well, that's the total outlier. But you do it three straight games, and I get that he's not going to maintain the shooting percentage. But, yeah, you're right, Tommy. It's in there. Like, his ability to score and get himself open, it's in there.
He's a rookie with, you know, a half a NBA season under his belt with not a ton of minutes.
Did you watch – and you were watching the Hawks again?
Of course.
Son of
I'm 0 for 11.
I mean, I
it's uncanny. It really is. Like now, I'm looking for the streak to be snapped.
Yeah, you got to find a matchup that you like.
I don't. I mean, it's crazy.
But now, don't you want them to lose? Now, continue to lose. How does the NHL lottery work?
It's kind of similar, I think, to the way the NBA's is structured.
So you
it?
Want it's me a, to keep watching?
Well, maybe you should now.
Well, now they're going to make the playoffs.
You know, the Hawks got lucky last year and moved way up to get Kirby Doc.
Yeah,
way up to get Doc.
What are they 8 points out?
They're
right
trending
now?
For like seventh. What is it with our teams picking seventh? It's like the only place they can pick.
For the Bulls, well, I mean, for sure.
The Bear, you can move up. You can pick second.
When you think about...
Is Kevin White seven?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When you think about...
Yes, he
Yurko,
was.
Yurko brought us back down memory lane to that year a couple seasons ago when they were 3-20, and then Nico came back. And when you look at what's happened at the top of the draft the last couple years with Luka, with Ja Morant, with Trae Young, Zion is, you know, Zion is a beast, dude. I mean, forget it. As long as he doesn't get hurt... I mean, he might get them in the playoffs in half a season.
I asked these guys, the guys today this question. You could have Zion or AD right now. Who are you taking?
Zion
or AD?
Or AD. Right now, you could have one of the two.
How old is AD?
26.
Is he that old?
I think I'm taking AD. But
I think I am too, just because I've seen it. And my only concern would be Zion being able to stay healthy consistently.
I think Zion's going to be better.
Zion's doing what Shaq did in his rookie year. You know, it's like,
well, he's playing volleyball.
Is that a great question?
Johnny's got the soccer game
Johnny's
on his brain.
He's watching soccer.
I'd rather have Zion.
Would you?
Ooh. Yeah. And I only say that, I think AD is going to be healthier. There's a health risk with Zion. That's the only thing. Very explosive player. I think AD...
He's had his fair share of injuries, though, AD, to be honest. I mean, he has.
I got you. But I think his game will, as he moves forward, relate more to a little bit of a safer game than the explosive game that Zion has.
So you're going Zion, though?
I'm still going Zion. Oh, I go, okay. That's the only reason I might go AD.
You might go AD. I got you.
That's,
you
know, that's the premier reason why I would say AD.
At some point, you become a veteran. You know when to exert the energy. You know when not to.
Listen, you know how to fall.
You know when to gamble. Yeah, you learn things over the course of time.
You know how to land.
And sometimes survival is a great thing.
I'll take
Zion
both.
Believes he's still invincible, and I kind of like that a little bit.
I want both. All right, what's up on the show today, man?
So we're gonna open with the great night that last night was. We also have something fun today. We have the Bears quarterback draft. Mm. We all are putting money in the pot,
mm-hmm.
and we are doing a fantasy draft on who we think the Bears could sign or acquire.
Right.
So Abdal wants to know, can he take Jalen Hurts? He can absolutely take Jalen Hurts.
Oh, yeah. Jacob Eason.
You want to draft Cam Newton today, even though he's under contract and the Panthers said Matt Rhule said that we want him back.
Yeah, he goes, I want him.
Well, there's talk and then there's action.
All right.
So you can draft Cam Newton.
You setting odds on this then? Or no?
No, we have four teams, Waddle, me, Meller, Abdallah, and we're gonna have a lottery for the draft and we're gonna do a snake draft.
Good, I like it.
We're gonna do a 4-round draft, 16 players. We'll have 4 quarterbacks on our team. If the Bears acquire one of those quarterbacks, you win the pot.
Oh, that's very good.
Just so you know, I've got none of the top guys on my list of draftees.
No?
No.
Don't tell us about your big board.
Don't tell me about your board.
I'll show you. Like I'll do a Miami Dolphins old school with you. I'll show you my big board. You can have it.
All right.
Thank you.
Sounds like fun. All right, boys, have a wonderful show, and thank we you. Will see everybody tomorrow.
Waddle, we got Louis Riddick today, too.
And Louis Riddick. All right, Waddle and Sylvie will get you home next.
Coming up next.
Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Bring Waddle and Sylvie with you at home or in your office. Just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
Last night was a lot of fun. We were talking about it with Carm. Waddle mentioned it, too. Even though there were two losses, a nice sports night. One of those nights where you could just watch good games. And then the Laker game was on against the Pelicans. That was very entertaining. But
I had to spend time with the wife when that game came on. Because when I got home, I ate something. Then I went into my television room and basically ignored my wife. Not intentionally because I wanted to, but just because I wanted to see both games. And she was watching something else. So by the time that the Hawks and the Bulls games were both over, like if I would have dipped into Lakers and Pelicans, it would not have been a good night.
So you said to us that you get home and you say hi to your wife. You grab dinner, then you go into your room to watch. What does high consist of? Is it literally, hey, how's it going?
And I mean, I'm into the room. Yeah, my daughter is there doing homework. It was high. There was dinner on the stove, so it wasn't a sit down dinner. So I grabbed something to eat. I watched the hockey game, and I was in the eating where we eat in the kitchen. There's only one television, so I said, "You want to watch the Bulls or the Hawks?" She said, "Hawks." So we watched the Hawks, and when we were done eating, I cleaned up, then I went into the television room to watch both games.
All you had to do with the Bulls game is watch the second half.
Yes.
They played terribly again. They allowed, 70 points?
Oh, it was gross.
In the first half, and then they, like most Bulls games, like we've told our listeners about the live wagering during Bulls games, none of it's really worked out in the last few games because we've all tried. But usually if the Bulls are down big, they usually have a run in them to either win or at least to make it interesting. And then if the Bulls have like an 8-point lead at half, you can usually count on the team that's better to make a run in the third quarter, which is usually their worst quarter, and then they take the lead and win.
I think that if you had stayed consistent throughout this year, you probably could have made decent money doing that.
Yes.
I really believe that. Do you realize now what the Bulls' record is against teams with winning records? Because obviously the Oklahoma City Thunder has a winning record.
All right, so there was a time when it was one win. It was one win. Have they moved off of the one win?
I don't know. Have they? I usually ask questions I don't have a full grasp of the answer.
I'm going to say they only have one win against winning teams.
Okay, what's their record, though?
1-29.
I believe it's 1-22.
Oh, 1-22.
I believe, again, like I said, I have a history of asking questions where I don't fully know the answer. But they have one win against a team with a winning record. And if you remember that team, it was the Clippers.
Yes.
Without Kawhi Leonard, without Lou Williams, without Patrick Beverley. That was their one win this year.
Their one win, yes. And in the East, of course, I think the record is everyone in the postseason, isn't it still that everyone in the postseason they haven't beaten yet? Who's the eighth seed right now? Is Brooklyn 7 or 8?
The Magic
right
are 8
Magic
right now.
The Magic are 8 and Brooklyn 7, right?
Yes.
So I think they have beaten Orlando. But
Orlando's 7 games under 500.
Right, so they're not a winning team.
Brooklyn is 4 games under 500. This is why. This would have laid out perfectly if the Bulls could have done what we all hoped that they would do. And I was expecting them to be significantly better, young guys developing, and them find their way into the 7th or 8th seed, possibly with a below 500 record in a bad Eastern Conference. It all set up for them to do just that. Because as you mentioned, the Orlando Magic are the 8th seed at 25-32. The Nets are the 7th seed at 26-30.
So if you want to weigh in 312-332-3776 about the Hawks and Bulls nights last night, obviously the one now something that maybe you could grab a hold of here, if you're a Bulls fan, positively, is Kobe White. Is Kobe White now has had the stretch of 3 games, but again, like Markkanen had that really good February last year. I think it was, that we all thought would translate into the next year and he would get better. And that hasn't worked. But it is good to see that Coby White now is playing really good basketball. And maybe he's a guy that you value in the offseason. So you got Zach LaVine, who's been better than a lot of people ever thought. I know he's not good defensively. I still know he's not the most efficient. But to me, he shoots it way better than he's ever. I thought he was going to shoot it, and he can score it. And now Coby White. But what Friedel was talking about this morning with Jonathan Hood and Brian Hanley, I thought was 100% is, the perception that the league has of the Bulls is from the face of the team. And whether you want to say, and this was a debate we were having, who's the face of the team? Is the public face of the team Jim Boylan, because he's the guy who speaks before and after every game. He's the guy who's saying, it doesn't matter that we're not winning. We're developing. Jim Boylan's the one saying, I'm only going to answer the Coby White question one more time. Jim Boylan's the guy who's taking the timeout down 10 with 40 seconds left. Jim Boylan's the one when it's a two-point game with 10 seconds left. He doesn't have a timeout. It always happens that way with Boylan, too. He's got the timeout when they're down big. He doesn't got the timeout when he needs to advance the ball to half court with under 10 seconds left. But
it's confounding.
Or is it Zach LaVine? Is Zach LaVine the face of the Bulls? But even if you spin it that way, that Zach's the guy, Zach's the guy bad-mouthing the coach. So if any, why would you want to come here? If you're any like NBA star, it's a clown show.
Yeah, it is. I think Zach LaVine's the face of the team. I mean, I'm apathetic to Jim Boylan, and I don't even think about him. I mean, he says some really weird things, but you know, when Zach's pouring in 38, 40, 42, and Coby White, look, I don't know who he'll be. How old is Coby? Coby is 20 years old.
Right. He only played one year in North Carolina.
I just think it's, and again, you could throw Lauri Markkanen back at me as, you know, like what he did in February of last year, but last year was his second year. To see Coby White have what we've seen out of him the last three games, to have that in him is comforting. That there is something here that if you find the right guy to develop him and you find the right guy to build around him, that you may have something here that ultimately you can win something with.
I think Boylan's the face, because if you have a superstar, if you're looking to add free agents to this team, they're not going to not come here because of Zach LaVine and because of Coby White. They're going to come here because they're not going to come here because of Jim Boylan. You know, they're not going to come here because they see the late game timeouts, because they see the dudes from last year, going back to last year with the wind sprints and everything. They know that this guy can't call a game. They know that this guy's bad out of timeouts.
Well, they know
that the rest of the players on the team are mocking him on the bench.
But you know that nobody's coming here if Jim Boylan's a coach. That's universally agreed upon.
I think face of the team is strong, right. But I'll grant you, Sylvie, I do think the fact that I'm with Waddle. I think Zach LaVine right now is the face of the Bulls organization, but it does not speak well of them that he's been caught on video multiple times now, you know, in situations where it's like you can see him on the court verbally wondering what's going on with some of the decisions his head coach is making. But the only guy I can actually think of and make an argument for, I think, is Greg Popovich being a head coach,
right,
who's the face of his team.
Well, you know what's interesting, too, is the reason why you think of Jim Boylan when you think of the Bulls is because of all the kooky timeout calls and the comments after games. Like, I guarantee you I can't name all 30 coaches in the NBA. And I can name Jim Boylan, obviously, because he's here in Chicago. But I believe if I was living somewhere, let's say in Oklahoma City, I'd know who Jim Boylan was if I followed the NBA. You know why?
Because he's goofy.
Because everybody's run clips of him doing and saying the things that he has done and said. Whereas I don't think you can name the names of other coaches around the league who may not be great coaches, but don't do what Jimbo does.
Yeah. Dave's on the east side, and if you want to weigh in, 332-3776. Dave, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up?
Good afternoon. You know, the swag has gone from my 90s Bulls. I mean, we were a franchise, new franchise in the 70s. We came up in the 90s with the championships, and now it's gone. The championship swag is gone. But I want to get to the real issue here. So we're talking about a GM. okay, when are we going to look into our medical staff? I mean, we got to be the most injured team the last 10 years in the whole NBA. You know what? The whole sports in America, if you think about it, I haven't found a franchise who always their rookies always hurt, their star players always hurt, their role players always hurt, this guy's always hurt. I mean, I've had enough of it since Derrick Rose's injury. I don't know if Jerry Reinsdorf has gotten to his loyalties to his head as much as to the medical staff. You can't get rid of some guy who can't get someone strong enough to handle the endurance of the NBA. You can't find a dietary to find the good food for these guys to eat. You cannot find the right time and right usages of their legs and all these components that go with the medical staff. Come on, Bulls, let's go.
I never thought we'd have the dietitian brought up. But look, we talked about this with the Bears under Ryan Pace when they were hurt for a couple of years in a row, and that's a contact sport. We said they need to look internally if they're doing all the right things to take care of the players, and they did that.
Yeah.
And a lot of it is luck. A lot of it's luck. But there have been several instances in the last decade under the Bulls where players have – lots of nagging injuries, a lot of misdiagnosed injuries. Like, was Lowry's production down because he was hurt from the start? And if he was hurt from the start, why wasn't he sitting? Did they misdiagnose what Porter had? Otto Porter. Why has he been out so long with what he's had?
These are all questions the new guy, whoever that guy is,
needs to take care of. Yes.
Better
ask. Just look at put everything under the microscope.
Yeah. And that's why I think that, you know, you'll know whether or not the right guy and a guy who's been given full autonomy has been brought in. Because there will be some decisions that are made that will, I think, speak to that.
So Jim Boylan threatened all of us to only address this one last time. What is that? You'll hear that coming up. And if you want to weigh in on the Bulls, 332-3776.
This is the home of Waddle and Sylvie for the ride home. Weekdays 2 to 6 on ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports.
Rebound to Kobe. Kobe on the run. Kobe driving. Layup good. He just flashed right by Gallinari. And timeout Billy Donovan. Now Harrison. Back out to Thaddeus. And now to Kobe. Fires one. Scores.
I wish I could have saw that. Jim standing right in my line of sight.
Now Kobe White. Dancing. Turns. Got a shot up and good. Acrobatic move there. Back to Kobe. Firing. Good.
Pressure makes me frustrated, Kobe White said.
How about that Kobe White last night, Neil and Stacy on NBC Sports Chicago? Saw this from Elias. With 35 points off the bench last night, Kobe White is the first rookie and third player overall to score 30 points in three straight games off the bench since starters were first recorded in 1970-71.
I like to think of that as more than just a coincidence, so that there's something there. Don't know what it's going to ultimately blossom into, but I'm comforted knowing that that capacity is there.
Well, he's really good. I mean, it could mean that he could be really good, or that he shouldn't be coming off the bench. That guys who are that good or can score that much, whether they're getting minutes or not, should not be brought off the bench. You know, very rarely we've saw Ben Gordon. I think he won Sixth Man of the Year award when he was a rookie, I think. You know, we just talked about Vinnie Johnson with Charles Barkley a couple weeks ago. The microwave could fill it up off the Jamal Crawford has been a guy who's been a sixth man who could fill it up.
Lou Williams is consistently the best sixth man in the league.
But usually if you can score 30, you're usually in the starting lineup. And especially when you don't have a star point guard. I heard Neil and Stacy throw this around, and then I'll play you the Boylan, his reaction. Phone number to reach is 332-3776. But Neil asked him, well, what if he's starting, is he a point guard? And Stacy said he's a player. And I thought it was a good point. I think in today's positionless basketball, whether you're a center, whether you're Zion and you're 6'6", who cares if you're a center or a forward? All I know is Zion's out there, and he's a blur, and he scored 30 points against the Lakers. You know? Is he a center? Is he a power forward? Is he a small forward? Who cares?
Yeah, as long as you find yourself okay on the defensive end where you're not in an entire mismatch because of the guys you're out there, which Zion, there is no mismatch. It's because he can do so much. But, yeah, I don't know why you wouldn't start him.
Here's Boylan. He was not having it last night. This was one of the last questions about, hey, is Coby White going to start? I think Sam asked the question, too. Here's a Hall of Fame guy, a guy who's been in this town forever, asking the question to probably one of the worst coaches in Chicago sports history about Coby White starting in the near future.
I keep getting this question, and I'm just going to answer it one more time. Coby's in a good place. We're going to keep him in a good place, and we'll see how it goes. I understand what you're trying to ask, but let's let Coby keep playing, and let's let him keep developing, and let's keep him in a good spot, and that's my goal right now.
I got to be honest with you. I'm not so hung up on him starting. I just want to make sure he's on the floor with the right guys. Like, I mean, that means you're going to have to balance things the right way. I mean, if you want to start him. I don't care. But I just don't want to see him on the floor with guys who aren't giving him the best chance to develop.
But if you're a team in the lottery now and you think he's going to be a future starter and a guy that you can count on, why not get him reps and games before next year when you can start him? And it's not like Sato is tearing it up.
No.
Sato can play Sato minutes off the bench. I mean, I know, you know, you can make, well, it's LaVine and Coby next to each other defensively. It's what you just said. But I would say, what do you got to lose here? Let's.
Well, yeah, give the kid some, you know, maybe it'll help him build confidence-wise.
The one thing I'll say is he had 33 minutes last night, and
right,
that's generally where he's been over the last, you know, few.
33, 34, 30, and 35 is last night.
So he's playing, quote, starter minutes.
Yeah, so if, you know, I can see the argument where you know Zach LaVine is going to have the ball, and so if you stagger their minutes where generally one is on the court at all times handling the ball, you know what I mean? Like you give Coby more of an opportunity to shoot.
Like at this point, I think it's such a cluster, you know what, right now because of the coach. Like, I get what you're saying, and I'm cool with that totally. But as long as he's playing 35 minutes, I just want to see him playing. And I don't want to see him playing on the floor with guys that will, you know, that will hurt his development. So he's got to be playing with the right guys, for sure, whoever's healthy.
Well, what would you rather have? Would you rather have the, like, let's assume he's not going to score. Odds are he's not going to keep scoring 30 points a game, right? Let's say he gives you 20 to 25 points a game. Would you rather have him and LaVine scoring those points in the beginning of the game, the Bulls don't go down a lot, and they don't have to fight their way back? Or do the Bulls and Boylan need something off the bench? Because who's scoring off the bench if he's not off the bench?
Yeah. And so, especially with them, so with lack of depth right now.
Exactly. So it's a double-edged sword because, one, yeah, if you had that scoring at the beginning, the Bulls wouldn't fall down to these teams so much. But ultimately, if you put in that second unit, they're going to lose a lead or they're going to be trucked by the team's second unit. So you need some form of scoring.
Which is important if you're playing for anything. But this team isn't. So, like, if you had Wendell that was healthy and Lowry was healthy and your full complement of players is out there.
They're
and
Coby's supposed to come back, though.
Right. And Coby's on the bench, though, for the majority of that time, and he's playing with everybody else. Then, yeah, I got a problem with that.
So, I mean, with March 1st coming, Wendell was listed as questionable yesterday. So he's coming back. And then Lowry's supposed to be coming back in March. So wouldn't you line up a team with those guys and say, look, we got March here. Coby, you're going to be starting in the future. Let's get you some reps here starting.
How much time are all those guys going to play? I just want to make sure that they're matched up where they're on the floor at the same time. And to your point, Adam, I get it. If you want to make sure that you're not, you know, you have to have your rotation to the point where you got guys that can score when your starters sit down. But this team is not going to do anything. You know what I mean?
Well, wins and losses don't matter.
Exactly. That's my point. So to me, what's more important is that he plays with the right complementary pieces around him to see whether or not he can grow going forward.
Do you know what Jim Boylan's record is?
0-120.
It feels that way, doesn't it? This is why he's talking about player development and not wins and losses. When before the year started, he was talking about making the playoffs. The number one goalie said, Stephen Noe just retweeted that last night, saying that the number one goal is to make the playoffs. Teams that don't make the playoffs say our goal is this now. Jim Boylan is 37-80 since taking over the Bulls. 37-80.
Look,
they're in a worse spot today than they were 3 years ago when the rebuild started.
And what did Jimbo had to say after the game about not being worried about wins and losses?
That was before the game.
Before
when
the game,
he said
yeah.
that, yeah, that's what he was saying. That you know, it's development and wins and losses. When a lot of guys haven't developed, when your top player doesn't respect you, he doesn't. And I tweeted out the poll question, Waddle. How would you answer this? Because I believe this. Would you be a better NBA coach than Jim Boylan? So you've got the same staff. You got the same players. You're the head coach. Would you be a better head coach than Jim Boylan?
I would not. No, I don't. I couldn't design an out-of-bounds play.
Well, I'm not going to call some of my other coaches to help me with that.
That's true. I mean, I'm not going to make the crazy timeout calls. And I'm not going to say, I'm going to try not to say silly things at the press conferences.
Did you see the play they designed for Zach LaVine to win it, where he curled out to the half-court stripe basically with 3 seconds left? And then Will Perdue was diagramming at the and the post-game show saying, look, he should have gone this. It should have been here.
Well, like I said, I mean, when all of these timeouts are called, you would think their efficiency would improve. Even in these dire moments where there's nothing on the line. And I believe somebody exposed the fact that coming out of these timeouts that are teaching moments in unwinnable games, they're just as destitute as they are earlier in the games coming out of timeouts. So it's really not providing anything for them.
Yeah, I am going full Costanza on this. When George Costanza thought that he could do the job of the analyst, wasn't it the analyst, not the play-by-play guy, that he could be a color commentator,
yes,
he
yes,
said.
Yes.
I truly, this is no bit, I believe that I could coach the team better than Jim Boylan. I truly, using my assistants, leaning on them where I need to, and not doing the stupid stuff that he does.
I don't know enough about basketball that I could do that. I know what you're saying. In theory, I think I would be a little calmer with certain situations, but no, I would vote no.
If you want to weigh in, 312-332-3776.
I can't believe I want to defend Jim Boylan here.
No, you could. I'd rather have you coach the team than Jim Boylan.
No, I'm not talking about that. I'm not. He's right in saying the wins and losses. He shouldn't be judged on wins and losses right now. Right now, he should not be judged on wins
right
and losses.
Right this second.
Yeah,
but,
well, that's what he's saying.
Well, he had time with Lauri Markkanen playing 46 games. They had time before Wendell's injury. They started the year like 2-5, and they've been a crap show since the start of the year.
I think you should judge him based on how guys are performing and how they are growing, if they are growing.
Bad culture. It looks like a bad culture. So
I want to see Abdallah, when we come back, draw a good out-of-bounds play.
Oh, yeah.
See if we can get a bucket.
Let's go. And if you want to weigh in, 332-3776. A lot of news coming out of the Combine as well. The CBA overnight was approved, sort of. We'll tell you about that. And will the NFL adopt rules even though the XFL has introduced them? All that coming up next. The 2 o'clock hour of Waddle and Sylvie is brought to you by your Chicagoland Acura dealers. Test drive the 2020 Acura RDX with available super handling, all-wheel drive today. Learn more at ChicagoAcuraDealers.com.
Waddle and Sylvie.
Podcasts are ready on the all-new ESPN Chicago app.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Works in. Brief wide pass. Brickle teed it up. Sanford is shot. Caught for the save. Rebound loose. Sanford to score. And on a wild night in St. Louis, the Blues win it. 6-5. Their fifth win in a row.
Satoransky. Look. Got it in. Zach circles. Slips. Fires. Ball game over. 124-122. Oklahoma City hangs on. The Bulls made a furious run in the second half after trailing by 24.
It was a fun TV night. NBC Sports Chicago for the Bulls highlights. You just heard Neil. Before that, it was a nationally televised game on NBC Sports Net 174 on my Comcast.
Yeah, I suspended my critical thinking last night, sports critical thinking, and just sat there and enjoyed watching a couple of really impressive performances, especially on the hardwood.
It's tough to watch the Blues beat the Hawks like that. It's tough. It's really tough because you used to always have an answer for the Blues. You used to be able to keep them down as much as you dislike them. And now you just, they won the cup and now they're better. And the Hawks just don't seem like they know where they're going or how they're going to get anywhere.
And even when they put, what was it, five nuts in the net, they still end up losing.
That's sort of their story, isn't it?
Yeah.
When they can, like when they actually do have a good goaltending effort and they get some form of defense, you know, they'll lose like 2-1. And then when they do score, they get nothing in return, and they lose 6-5.
I got to say, you know, I wasn't happy with the outcome, but it was some hot on-ice action. I'm just telling you.
0-11 for Waddle.
Yeah,
so
I'm 0-11 watching. But 6-5, I mean, there was some excitement. I don't like seeing four goals scored by the Blues in the third period.
There was a flurry of activity in the third period. It was every time you looked, if you turned your head, you missed a goal.
If you talk about trying to entice the interest of the casual hockey fan, now, again, I got a horse in the race there because I obviously want the Blackhawks to win. But that was some hot action on ice right there. And I believe the kid from St. Louis is a BC kid. So I think that there was a little extra something there for me. So I thought it was I enjoyed watching what was going on. I suspended my critical eye in terms of basketball. I know who they are. But to watch Zach LaVine make like more than half of all of his difficult shots.
What did he take, 35 shots?
Yeah, I mean,
he made like 19 of 35?
He was just, you know what, he was a difference-making player last night. They didn't win because there's not enough talent around them, but he was a very entertaining player last night, as was Kobe White. Hockey game was interesting, hence the reason I didn't spend any time with my wife. Hence the reason why I couldn't watch Lakers and Pelicans.
I don't know. If more Bulls games... the first half was a debacle.
Right.
But the second half was like, if you got more of that throughout the season, I think it would be a little bit more encouraging.
I mean, Kobe White wasn't bad in moments, but he didn't do what I thought he was going to do based on some of his early games. And then the lack of development and the lack of a role. And
how much of that is, the coach?
The environment. Yes. Yeah, of course.
And not having him on the floor and guys around him. And listen, I put it, the majority of the blame always goes with the player first. But especially young players, you have to be put in an environment where you can grow.
This is what I was saying, Meller, after all these years. Like, I didn't care about Justin Holliday. I didn't care about Robin Lopez. I cared about Lauri Markkanen in past years. You know, and then you'd want to see how these other guys turn out. And then this year, okay, fine. If they didn't make the playoffs this year, but they actually sort of bought into the coach and all of them grew. Lauri became an all-star. Zach LaVine was this. That Kobe White was really, really good. Wendell Carter had a role on offense instead of just hanging around the basket and looking for a rebound. Then I'd be like, okay, I get it. The goal is to win the game. This is Chicago. The goal is to get back to the postseason. But now I don't think the calls to the season ticket holders would be as tough as they are now. Nick tweeted me, our buddy Nick, and he said, season ticket holders are canceling every day. They keep sending me offers to renew with easier terms. No one pays to see development of anything. You pay to see a win. I never thought people who are so rich could be so stupid.
You know, though, but that's not even true because, to your point, people get excited about development. That's the fun time.
That's what I was excited about this year as the season began.
It's virtually every spot because, I mean, I guess it depends on how you feel about Zach LaVine because he's still young, but he's a veteran in this league. And so when he's pouring in, you know, big point totals, but they're still losing game in and game out, that's not that impressive. But every single player that you turn to that could, you try and convince yourself could be a piece to build on, every single one of those pieces is essentially not giving you what you would hope for.
Well, and look, I think finally you are at the point where change is imminent, or at least it feels that way.
We all know it.
Because the stadium has fewer people in it night after night after night.
Did you see some of the videos going around, too, with the tip-off, how bad it looked?
Listen, again, I think that the peer pressure from the fans does... They hear everything that is said. They read everything that is written. All of that is without saying. Goes without saying. A team is inspired to change when the cash register stops ringing.
Right.
Some more than others. Some are more motivated by the financials involved. I've said for years now, I think that this team will finally make significant change if, in fact, they get hit in the pocketbook.
Right. Like the 86 Gar Pack shirt. You know, they sort of care, but they don't really care if there were 22,000 people there.
That's my point.
But with the... with the 86 Gar Pack shirts and only 14,000 there or 11,000 there, now they care.
Right. I mean, what the most, don't forget, I mean, the intense pressure that is being placed on the fans by them rebelling, it resonates. But like you said, it resonates most because it's empty in there compared to years gone by.
And people will watch development. Look at what the 76ers did. I know it didn't come to fruition for them, but when they got Embiid, when they had Simmons, people were paying to see them because they liked those superstars. People would pay if this was a team that was fighting for like a 7th or 8th seed, right? People would go to those games
of course,
if this was Lowry Markkanen was out
fun,
there.
Yeah,
exactly. So it's not that people don't want to pay for development.
Fun.
Exactly. They're not fun to watch, and they're also... you're not getting the results. So if you're not getting the results, you're not developing. Of course people aren't going to go.
It's like with the White Sox, too. We talk about this all the time. And a topic that we have for the next day or two, if you want to weigh in now, has the White Sox rebuild up until this point? Now, listen to what I'm saying, because I know when you bring on one side of town, the other side of town comes at you if you say something that they don't like. Up until this point, has the White Sox rebuild gone perfectly? Now, the hardest part is from going from point B to point C and winning big. But knowing where they started on the day they traded Chris Sale, as opposed to where the Bulls started with Jimmy Butler trade and where they are 3 years later, they're in no better shape today than they were 3 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
With the White Sox, they clearly are. Now, we always said this about the White Sox development. If Moncada stays great like last year, if Tim Anderson continues to rake, if Eloy takes another step, if Robert is as good as advertised, if Madrigal is as good as advertised and doesn't strike out and he's on the team, if Kopech, there's a lot of ifs here, and all that happens, usually the record's going to be good too. You will take that, not knowing what the record is. If I promised you only that all that stuff would happen, you would accept all of that.
Mm-hmm.
But usually, too, they go hand in hand. Usually, if there is development with Lowry, if there's development with Wendell, if there's development with Kobe White, the Bulls would be better than where they are now with, what, 19 wins?
Yeah, no question. When you talk about the White Sox and the rebuild, I always go back to last year and how much we all gave them heat. And I think rightfully so for how they approached the Manny Machado offer and the pursuit. If you're a White Sox fan right now, do you think with the benefit of hindsight, I'll ask you, Mellor, are you glad now they didn't get Machado, or do you think that they still could have you as
Machado
excited
and
today?
Everybody else?
Or do they not go, or do they not have the resources to sign some of the guys that they signed?
It's interesting. I was thinking about this exact thing the other day, and I was, if they had landed, because the truth is, I don't believe had they landed Manny Machado, they would have spent like they did this past offseason.
Right.
They would not have gone after Grandal and Keuchel and, traded for Mazzara.
They wouldn't sign Encarnacion.
I don't think they would have splurged like they did. However, in some ways, just as a lot of the criticism has been for Jerry Reinsdorf and the way he spent on the Bulls, there's no reason they couldn't have signed Manny Machado and gone after all these guys.
That's
I think if you add Machado to this roster, you have a no doubt wild card, AL Central favorite.
Yeah.
If you add Machado to this roster.
Now you're griping about where guys play.
I still think up until this, even without Machado, and I agree with you that they could have done both, but it's a B+ to an A-, right, up until this point. The toughest part is yet to come. 332-3776. So we got to get to the NFL, the CBA, the rule changes that could possibly happen. And Lewis Riddick is going to join us at 3:15.